pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Open our eyes so that we can see. Open our ears so that we can hear. And help us to do your will. Because we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Communion Sabbath. Important. A reminder of what God did for each one of us. Now, how many of you guys have made a contract? How many of you have gone through page after page after page of fine print? And at the end, okay, here it goes. And you sign the papers. The fine print tells you what happens when you do not do your part of the deal. And yes, there are consequences. We might lose money. We might lose property. We might lose sleep if we do not keep our part of the bargain. But nobody here has ever signed a document where it says, if I don't keep my part of the deal, my word, it's my body and my blood. You wouldn't think of that. No way. Not my life. I'm not going to sign that. When Jesus was with his disciples at that table and was breaking bread and pouring that fruit of the vine to that cup, he was telling them, my life, so that you can live. This week I was talking with Brian, and we were just talking. And he said something, and it reminded me of something that happened a long time ago. And I said something, and it reminded him of something he had done a long time ago. And we're just going back and forth, talking and telling stories. And I want to think that the disciples were sitting at the table and were listening to Jesus. And when he said, this cup is a memorial, a sign of my blood, of the covenant. That the disciples there sitting were thinking, covenant? What covenant? Jesus, what treaty? What pact? And that they were going back to a promise, a covenant that God had made long ago to his servant Abraham. Will you turn with me to your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 15? It tells us of a covenant that God had made long ago before Jesus pronounced those words once again to his disciples. You see, God had promised Abram that he would inherit a land, the promised land, that his descendants would live in it. And it would be a large land going from Egypt all the way up to the Euphrates River. But there was one problem. Abram did not have children. And he was at age already, at that age where it's really, really, really hard to have children. So he wasn't too sure about this promise, this covenant that God wanted to make with him and with his descendants. But God can do impossible things. Amen? Amen? What's impossible for us human beings, it's possible with God. And verse 4 tells us, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Come, Abraham, let's make a covenant. Let me sign the dotted line. I promise you, this will happen. I wasn't too sure about that word heifer. So I asked Dale, what's a heifer, Dale? And he said, it's a small cow that has never had a calf before. And I said, how about a three-year-old heifer? Is that a mature heifer? Yes, it's a young, strong, mature cow. And that is what God was asking Abram to bring. But something else happened. Verse 10. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain, I promise you, Abram, that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorite has not yet reached its full measure. And when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. You see, in Abram's time, the suzerain, the big, powerful kingdom, would make treaties and covenants with the vassals, the smaller kingdoms surrounding this large kingdom. And the vassals would come, and they would agree what each side would do. But then the suzerain would grab a calf, a heifer, would divide it in two, and would ask the vassal to walk right through those two pieces, signing it with their own life. If you break the covenant, that will happen to you. That's the way they did covenants in Abram's time. But the difference here, God was not asking that of Abram. It was God who said, I promise you, and I will walk between those two pieces. If I fail you, I'll pay the price. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, tells us of another document, important document, that John saw in a vision. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writings on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. You see, when they made contracts back in the days, both of them would come, sign a document, and they would seal it. And if years passed and somebody had forgotten what the deal was, they could always go back to that document. But only the rightful owners, only the ones in that treaty, had the right to open that document, to unseal it, and find out what was written in it. No one was found to look inside. But verse 5 says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep,'" because he was crying. "See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Amen? Verse 6, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne." An image is given us of a lamb who was slain, but a lamb who is alive today. Amen? The picture reminds me of Isaiah 53. Takes me to that chapter where it talks to us of the righteous servant who would come to this earth, who would suffer death so that our transgressions, so that our part of the deal that we did not fulfill and keep would be erased, and we could continue on having a covenant relationship with God. Amen? Isaiah 53 is a reminder. And this is what happened afterwards. Verse 8, "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.'" Jesus, with his own blood, paid the price so that we could live. He came to conquer what we could not conquer on our own. He came to give us life abundantly. And when he was sitting at the table with his disciples, I can imagine their disciples going, "Jesus, why are you talking again about dying?" People just screamed, "Hosanna, the Son of David. You are going to be king pretty soon." And Jesus would tell them, "Not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. But I've come to establish a new covenant with you. I've come to establish a covenant of life. And wherever you see healing, praise God, because his kingdom has come to conquer death. Whenever we hear the story of resurrection, praise God, because that is a symbol that his kingdom has been established and has conquered death. Today we have the opportunity to participate, to be reminded that death has been conquered. Amen? Amen? That we have eternal life. As we break bread together, as we drink of the wine, as we wash each other's feet, Let us remember what God did for you and me. Let us make a covenant with him today, saying, God, if you have done this for me, could you help me, with the power of your Holy Spirit, to live for you? Amen? Can we say that today? That's why we're gathered here. If you did this for me, with the help of your Holy Spirit, can you help me live for you? And even if we die, it's only for a little while, amen? Amen? It's just a little bit. It's sleep. Because Jesus has promised a new heaven and a new earth. The covenant he made with Abraham that his people would possess the land is still today. Amen? It's a promise that he made and he will fulfill. It is our privilege this morning to participate. And as we participate, we proclaim that yes, it was his body, it was his blood that made life possible and life eternal. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Our fellowship room has been prepared, and at this moment we will go over and wash our feet in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for each one of us.